Hey, it's Tax Clips time from TaxMama.com. Today, Tax Mama hears from Richard in the Tax Clips forum, who is well informed about his issue. He says, I received stock when John Hancock Life was merged or purchased by Manulife Insurance Company several years ago. It went from a mutual insurance company to a stock insurance company. Originally, IRS said that all the income from the sale of the stock was taxable. However, a court decision on a lawsuit that was filed by one of the stockholders overturned the IRS ruling. Is that still the case? This was covered in a Kiplinger letter a year or so ago. Another source said the stock was taxable, less the premiums that were paid on the life insurance policy up to the date of the sale. I'll appreciate your advice. Well, as it happens, I remember the situation well, and it brings back some interestingly painful memories about some of my clients' experiences. Ask me about it someday. In the meantime, Roger McKeon at the Iowa State University Center for Agricultural Law and Taxation wrote an excellent analysis of the situation, which was updated as recently as October of 2009. You're right. At first, IRS said the stocks have no basis. Then the Fisher case was brought to the Federal Claims Court, who said there is a basis. The question at that level was, how much of a basis? And that decision was left up to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, and they've issued a ruling on how much basis to assign to the stock. The Federal Claims Court, on Treasury Regulation 1.61-6A, which specifies that when part of a larger property is sold, the cost basis of the entire property is to be equally apportioned among the several parts, and the gain realized or loss sustained on the part of the entire property sold is the difference between the selling price and the cost basis allocated to the part that is sold. Okay, in plain English, what does that mean to you? 1. Track down the details and prepare a schedule listing all of the premiums you've paid. 2. Compute the value of the stock at the time you received it, your total shares times the opening stock price, the IPO. 3. Subtract the stock price from the premiums that you've paid. The difference is your gain or loss, and you can allocate it per share if you're not selling all your shares. Now, the plaintiff and Fisher had a cost basis in the insurance policy, which was determined by the amount of premiums that had been paid, that exceeded the value of the stock received in the demutualization, so he ended up with a zero tax liability. It's quite possible that you can use the same concept with respect to your stock sales. If you've never sold any of these shares before, you're in an excellent position. Read the report in depth. It does contain a brief summary of the John Hancock demutualization, and there's also a list of all the companies affected with a brief summary of each. And remember, you can find answers to all kinds of questions about the value of your demutualized insurance policy and other tax issues free. Where? Where else? At TaxMama.com.